Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
These men belonged to Al-Qaeda, a group of extremists who have distorted and defiled Islam, one of the world's great religions.
To risk 100,000 American lives, and then that's not going to be enough, so you put in another 30,000, then another 30,000. Before long, you're fighting Vietnam all over again.
We've had 46 million Americans who could be here since Roe v. Wade who are not voting. And I think that, in a sense, is a Holocaust. I really do.
Whereas before I was like, do not give me a lecture on how to live my life when I know I'm a pretty decent human being. They go, I'm a good Christian and I go to church and this is the way you should live your life. But I now have faith in those who say they represent a faith. Wow, I finally met someone who practices but doesn't preach.
Okay, here's my problem today. Yesterday all day long was Friday to me. I don't know why. It felt like it should have been Friday. I knew all day long it wasn't Friday, but somewhere deep in my bones it felt like it should have been. Driving home last night in the dark, I mentioned to my wife that Friday was going to be tough because I felt like I'd already been through Friday. And this Friday did actually prove to be a little work. We had some trouble with our audio last night on the website. I came home with the audio as I usually do, ready to make it available to all of our on-demand listeners, whom we love so dearly. And I tried to do that in a timely fashion, only to discover that it was, well, unusable. We had a little computer glitch here yesterday that, in addition to making some trouble for us, actually made a lot of noise. And we got the offending computer out of the studio here and out into the control room, which was fine, brought in a new one here, but apparently the recording still turned out pretty rotten. So, luckily, because we have a professional producer here at Lutheran Public Radio, he always has a backup. But we weren't able to get that audio up until today, so it made Friday a little busy for us here at LPR Studios. Nonetheless, we are intrepid. We forge ahead. Listener email here in the first hour of the program, along with blog of the week. Then in the second hour of the program, you might have seen it. There's a new survey on the religious beliefs and practices of Americans. Interesting stuff. Like half of all Americans profess to have had some kind of mystical or religious experience. Or the fact that 23% of Christians, that is self-identified Christians, believe in reincarnation. That's amazing. I mean, they seriously believe in reincarnation. A similar percentage of self-identified Christians believe in astrology in some form or another. And people appear to be going to religious practices and services all across not only denominational but also religious lines as well. We'll talk with Greg Smith of the Pew Forum about that survey in the second hour of the program. We'll have Issues Etc. soundbite of the week as well for about the last half hour of today's program. 1-877-623-6943. Get ready to hear those sound bites in the second hour. And once you hear them, you can call and vote for soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-MYIE. You can email us for the next 2 hours. talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll get to some of your email here in just a minute. Or you can Twitter us @issuesetc. We always start out on Friday with listener email. Jeff, what's up first?
This is Steve in Bellevue, Nebraska. Sorry for the late entry on this topic, but I recently moved and wanted to digest this for a while. I have to say you did a disservice on this to this particular study of the Truth Project put out by Focus on the Family. Pastor Ferguson did not adequately present the reason for it. I went through the program in Colorado Springs outside my congregations. You harped on the lack of gospel presentation. Not all studies will focus on the gospel. I would consider this an extracurricular study. It is designed for mature Christians, not a hodgepodge of all ages from a congregation. It's also designed to be done outside the scope of a formal Bible study in a church. It's also not to help people with their personal problems, divorce, etc. It's showing us how a secular worldview clouds our thinking as Christians in the modern world and tries to point us back on a path that God wants us on in terms of our everyday lives. Its focus is on a path of reliance on God and His original plan for creation. In general, the vast majority of your broadcasts are superb. You tried to bring up good points about the Truth Project, but it seemed you were intent on bringing it down. This is not a Lutheran product and won't meet the apparent criteria of confessionals. It is deeply needed in the world today, regardless of what you deem as its shortcomings. Sorry to be so critical, but I had a lot more positive feelings about this study than confessionals apparently do. Thanks for listening in Bellevue, Nebraska, and thanks for the email, Steve.
He kind of uses that term confessionals with a little spit in his mouth there. I mean, it's not a dirty word. I think that the Reformers considered being confessional a badge of honor, not an epithet. Nonetheless, it's interesting. The last email we got about that hour that we did with Pastor Ferguson on the Truth Project went the other direction, didn't it, Jeff? The last email we got from someone said, you weren't hard enough on it. You guys gave it a pass. You were too easy on it.
Which, yeah, I'd say the email's been balanced. I mean, the last one we read on the air, yes.
Okay. I actually approached it, and I think we tried to be as explicit with this as possible when we did this interview with Pastor Ferguson on the Truth Project, which anyone can listen to at our website, issuesetc.org. Click listen and go to the on-demand page. You'll find it there, probably in the archived audio, I believe, because it was before October 12th. If I'm not mistaken. We tried to be upfront from the very beginning that we were treating this as kind of a worldview study rather than a Bible study or something like that. And I don't think we harped on the lack of gospel content, but I think it does bear repeating that the Truth Project, at least according to Pastor Ferguson's experience with it in his congregation using it, lacked, for the most part, any gospel content. Now, I would argue that a Christian worldview isn't complete. You might claim to have a generally biblical kind of Judeo-Christian worldview if you leave the gospel out. But I don't think you can call it an explicitly Christian worldview if there isn't, if the gospel, the explicit gospel, Christ's saving work for a world of sinners, is absent. But with that said, I don't think we were overly critical of it. We were not intent on bringing it down, but kind of carefully handling it because we didn't want anyone to think that we were recommending it without reservation. That's why, at least for my part, I tried to make sure that the listeners understood through the course of that analysis of it that it did not have explicit gospel content. And again, in my opinion, I think it's probably a good conclusion to say a thoroughgoing Christian worldview minus the gospel isn't exactly Christian. You might call it Judeo-Christian in that general sociological term or biblical in some general sense. But without the gospel, you can hardly call it full-blown Christian worldview.
And listeners might recall that Pastor Ferguson did lead a Bible class using the Truth Project at Peace Lutheran.
Yeah, he did. And that was really... Our interview with him grew out of his experience doing that, the deficiencies that he found, the strengths that he found. And don't get me wrong, we do a lot on this program to try and educate Christians on a Christian worldview. We try and keep that front and center in a lot of what we do because what is sorely lacking among Christians, even if they don't know it, is a Christian worldview. They hold kind of a hodgepodge patchwork of worldviews, largely inconsistent with one another, a little bit from this and a little bit from that, and they think that they are considering the world in the light of biblical Christianity. And part of what we're trying to do is say, if you're going to hold a Christian worldview, hold it all the way, not just a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Lots of email regarding your review of Bishop Mark Hansen's town hall forum the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. This comes from Karen. I couldn't call in today. I was driving home from work, so I'm venting via email. As I listened to Bishop Hansen's comments in the town hall forum, especially his non-answer to the question about where specifically does the Bible approve of homosexuality or something like that, my immediate response was, what a bunch of BS. I can't believe he thinks people are going to buy into this rambling nonsense. That's all. Thanks for letting me vent. And thanks for the email, Karen.
Karen, thank you. And, well, if you had been in the office here earlier in the day before we went on the air with Bishop Hansen's town hall meeting, when I was actually going through the sound bites themselves, the excerpts that we had. And by the way, we didn't edit them. We had kept those answers in their whole, in their entirety. We did not edit them at all, because we wanted people to hear what the good bishop had to say in its entirety. We didn't give every answer that he gave, but every answer that he did give, we gave in its entirety. By the way, one of our sound bites this week is a montage, highly edited, I will have to admit, but a highly edited montage of Bishop Hansen in some of the answers he gave about homosexuality at that town hall meeting. But had you been in the office, Karen, to hear Wilkin, when I was listening to it and cleaning it up, you would have heard similar comments. We'll just leave it at that. I was already frustrated that day for some other reason that I can't remember, but coming in and having to listen to again and again and again Bishop Hansen, what do you call it? In radio, you call it vamping, where you're watching the clock. You got, 2.5 minutes before the bump music starts. You don't really have anything to say, so you just start talking, and whatever comes out of your mouth, it's kind of stream of consciousness. Listening to Bishop Hansen and apparently being taken seriously by his audience and by a majority of his church body, I had similar frustrations, Karen. So you can say you're either in good company or bad company. Doesn't make much difference to me. It is, and I think I said this when we were doing those open lines on Bishop Hansen's comments, it is never good when you can't understand what your church leaders are saying to you. When their language goes back and forth, when they talk a lot about conversation, when buzzwords pile up until it doesn't really matter what they're saying anymore, never good, ever. We'll be right back with more email.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
From His Fullness, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
We who are utterly empty, with nothing in us but sin and corruption, we receive from Jesus, this child, everything that he is as both God and man. The fullness of deity dwells bodily in him.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size, year-end, tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2009.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday, December the 11th. We're going through listener email. We do so love hearing from our listeners via email, however they want to communicate with us. That email address, by the way, is talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. All your email gets read by somebody, regardless of the topic. Not necessarily all of it gets responded to, but we do our best to respond to as much as we can on Friday afternoons. What's next?
Speaking of vamping, would you do me a favor and vamp on your in your response to this email? Because I still need to line up a guest for next hour.
You mean you're going to tell me to stretch it out?
Yes.
You didn't have to tell people I was going to do that. I mean, you could have just signaled me to, as you got up from your chair and walked away, signaled me to vamp.
This is true.
Which he does a lot.
But I'm putting the blame on me. If people are like, Wilkin, okay, we get it. Move on. They're going to say, it's not your fault, it's my fault.
Nice of you to take the bullet.
Yeah, and that, you think that's where I really did it. Martin, some more email regarding Bishop Mark Hansen's town hall forum. Regarding ELCA Bishop's town hall remark, God is still speaking. This was the motto of the United Church of Christ during a recent media blitz. If you want to know where the ELC is headed, just look at the UCC. Stay in the conversation. Don't divide and split off. What does the Holy Spirit say through the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians? That there must be divisions among you to show who is genuine. Thanks for the email, Martin.
Martin, thank you very much. Good. I mean, it's good to make that connection, the two connections that you did make. Let's start with the second one first. And that is, division in the church isn't always a bad thing. St. Paul tells the Corinthians, who are a deeply divided church, over very important things, that while it is shameful they are divided, that is, while it is shameful they are tolerating false teaching, false practice, immorality, all the things that they're tolerating there in the Corinthian church. While that is a shameful thing, the divisions that exist between them over these important doctrinal and practical issues are necessary. I mean, he says it right there. There must be divisions among you so that it might be clearly seen who is being faithful. When someone confesses the truth, they necessarily also, at the same time, either implicitly or better explicitly, reject errors. And that is going to create division. The truth does divide. While it unites those who love the truth, who hear the word of God, it also divides those very people from those who do not love God's word and truth. So what does Jesus say? Here's a great example. You don't even have to go to St. Paul. You go to John 17 where Jesus prays his great high priestly prayer. He's praying, interceding for his disciples with his mind clearly on his departure after his death and resurrection, his ascension into heaven where he would leave his disciples not alone, but leave his disciples physically. And he's praying in this great prayer that they be one. That's the theme of the prayer, that they be one. And that they be one in the truth, and he says, your word is truth. There is a very good principle to observe, that for Jesus, true unity is always and only around the truth of God's word. If people want to unite around something else, structure, cult of personality, who knows what people unite around in the church nowadays. If people want to unite around those things, they can't call it the kind of unity that Jesus prays his disciples would enjoy with one another. That unity is exclusive and exclusively formed by the truth of God's word. And in the very same prayer where Jesus is going on and on about the unity that his disciples have, may they be one even as you and I, Heavenly Father, are one. The same unity, that's amazing to think about it, the same unity that exists between the Son and the Father, Jesus prays his disciples might have with one another around the truth of God's word. But in the same prayer, what does he say? Expect the world's hatred. The world hates you because it hates me. the world is going to treat you thus and so because that's how it's going to treat me. So while the truth unites those who love the truth and hear God's word, it certainly divides those same people from the rest of the world, from false believers, from hypocrites, from people who do not believe God's word or love it or want to hear it. So the truth does divide. Jesus says, don't think for a minute that I came to bring peace on earth. I came to bring a sword. And the divisions would go into families, between siblings, between parents and their children. The basic division between believers and unbelievers. So Paul is making a pretty harsh statement when he says these divisions are necessary that it might be seen who are genuine. And that necessarily means those who reject the truth are not genuine. So for Bishop Hansen to say, let's just stay in the conversation, keep talking to one another, even though we have completely divergent views of what the Bible teaches, or some of us take seriously what the Bible says in its text, not what we think it says to us in its text, and some of us don't. For a bishop of the church to call people to unite, not in the truth of God's word, but in kind of a common hope for staying together, it's blasphemous. There's no two ways about it. It is blasphemous. He is not speaking for Christ there, speaking only for himself. And there was another point in the email. What was his first point in the email? I forgot it now, since I was vamping.
I threw it away. Sorry. Stay in the conversation. God is still speaking model?
Yeah. The connection he made with the UCC. Also, the United Methodist Church has tried this little trick too. It was either the UCC, I think it was the UCC, had that little motto, never put a period where God puts a comma, and then their whole symbol for their, I guess it was a capital fund drive probably, was a big comma. If you drove by a UCC church, you might have seen out on their lawn a sign with a big comma. Because they just believe God has never done speaking. He's always got something new to say. He's always revising himself. He's always correcting himself. And that's why the UCC tolerates what it tolerates. This notion of ongoing conversation that never really comes to a hard and fast conclusion. It's foreign to the church. The church is all about closing questions, not leaving them open. It's all about answering questions from the Word of God. And where God's Word doesn't speak, the church simply remains silent.
Do you mind if I ask our listeners to do me a favor? I'm still looking for a guest 45 minutes from now. We still need somebody. And it's, again, we've got an interview with the senior researcher of the Pew Forum talking about this new Pew Forum and the religious beliefs and practices of Americans. And then we're bringing on somebody for analysis of it. Okay? Who would you like to hear 45 minutes from now, analyze this new Pew Forum regarding the beliefs, religious beliefs and practices of Americans? Send me an email at talkback@issuesetc.org.
Okay, so in other words, we're going to get the raw data from Greg Smith from Pew Forum. You're asking the listeners to suggest. And it's not like we don't have a list of calls out there already, folks, but if you got someone you want to add to the list who may help Jeff do his job, feel free to do it. talkback@issuesetc.org.
We've tried Montgomery, John Work Montgomery. Haven't heard back. Haven't heard back from Craig Parton. Got a no from Mike Horton. A no from Greg Kokel. A no from Angus Manouge. Haven't heard back for Alvin Schmidt. Haven't heard back from Kim Riddlebarger. Got a no from Ken Samples. Haven't heard back from Gene Veith. Got a no from Hank Hanegraaff. And haven't heard back from Gretchen Passantino. So if there's somebody we're not thinking about, shoot me an email, please.
And believe me, folks, we have such a large stable of guests here at Issues, etc. It's very easy for a guest to fall through the cracks. I mean, very easy that we, you know, that's a good thing. If you're sitting there listening and you think, you know, I haven't heard so-and-so on Issues, etc. forever. Why haven't they had him on? I can tell you why we haven't had that person on if you haven't heard them in months and months. Probably, well, there's one of two reasons. One, they're very difficult to get. Mike Horton's hard to get. He's a busy guy. Others are hard to get. Or they've fallen through the cracks here at LPR, and we need to be reminded, hey, have so-and-so back on the show. We're happy to hear those kind of suggestions, too.
What do you know? Jen in Virginia says Molly or Mark Hemingway. See, it's that simple.
Hey, did you know Mark Hemingway got mentioned last night?
You told me that. Tell the folks about that.
I'm watching television last night about 11:30. I TiVo 30 Rock because I think it's funny. I think Alec Baldwin is a comic genius. I know Craig doesn't like Alec Baldwin for political reasons, and Craig won't laugh at liberals' jokes, even when they're funny. I am more enlightened. I am able to laugh at a liberal's joke when they're funny. Well, anyway, so I'm watching 30 Rock. Plus, I think Tina Fey's cute, okay? I'm watching 30 Rock last night by 11:30, and all of a sudden, there's this interchange between the Jack character and the Liz character in his office. And Liz is bloviating about something. And Jack says to Liz, "Liz, it's like watching Hemingway write." And then he takes the comic pause and gets real serious and says, "Mark Hemingway." And I thought to myself, did he just mention Mark Hemingway? So I immediately leapt to my laptop to email Molly, Mark's wife, and great guest on this program, journalist and mother extraordinaire, and say, "Hey, I just heard Mark got honorable mention on 30 Rock." And she said, "Yeah, we've been hearing from people all night about it." So kudos to Mark Hemingway for getting honorable mention. Well, it obviously wasn't honorable mention, but apparently he's got the attention of the writers for 30 Rock sufficient that they'd be willing to write his name into the script. I thought it was a clever joke, too. It was funny. I mean, yes, Craig, Alec Baldwin, he is a comic genius. You can't deny it. Yeah, he may be a political liberal. You need to learn to laugh a little bit more, Craig. You're getting as glum as Glenn Beck. Really? We'll be right back.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The latest argument by pro-abortion activists around the world is legalizing abortion will help women's health. But the opposite is true. Even Planned Parenthood acknowledged an alarming surge in maternal mortality or women dying in South Africa where they legalized abortion. A growing body of evidence shows countries that allow abortion on demand have a higher rate of maternal deaths. Such countries as Nepal, Ethiopia, and Guyana have liberal abortion laws and have the highest rate of maternal deaths in each of their regions, while their counterparts like Chile, Nicaragua, Sri Lanka protect their unborn children and have the lowest rates of maternal deaths in these same regions. The United Nations, which strongly pushes abortion, should take a second closer look at the evidence.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Listener email here in the first hour of this Friday afternoon's program. It's December the 11th. A little bit later, Issues Etc. blog of the week. Greg Smith of the Pew Forum will join us to talk about a new survey on the religious beliefs and practices of Americans. Much has changed. And then we'll get some analysis from, we have yet to ascertain who from. Hopefully it won't have to be Jeff doing the analysis. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week will round off today's program. I mentioned that we have a montage of Bishop Hansen for the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Also, Dan Kistler on his
Romans 7 experience as an evangelical, a little Jonathan Fisk on whether the Trinity puts the – I'm working from memory here, by the way, Jeff. Isn't it amazing? Whether the Trinity puts God in a box, and then a little bit from Canon Kendall Hammond.
Harmon?
Yeah, thank you.
That's good.
My memory isn't perfect. Canon Kendall Harmon on what is he talking about? He's talking about the alleged consensus in the Episcopal Church USA over homosexuality. More email.
By the way, I concur with you. The more Craigie over here listens to Glenn Beck, the less Kevin James joy we get from this guy.
Yeah, we call Craig our Kevin James. Because and Kevin James is a comic. It was King of Queens fame. Just exudes this kind of boyish charm, and which is exactly what Craig is all the time, except when he's listening to Glenn Beck on a regular basis. Now, I used to say I'm the one who turned Jeff on to Glenn Beck years ago when Glenn Beck's radio program was the best radio program in the world. It was. There was no two ways about it in terms of production, in terms of the content and everything. It's my opinion only, but when Glenn went to television and started dealing with politics and politics alone, it ruined the radio show. Now he's practically hiding under his broadcast desk every day, in fear of the apocalypse. And the television show never really interested me because I can get politics any place. What Glenn Beck had when his show was in its prime and fewer people knew about it was the best talk radio I'd ever heard in my life. And it wasn't because he was a joyful guy. It's because he really was a compelling host. And also, his producers didn't constantly talk, too, which is why we only let Jeff talk just a little bit every Friday.
It was part of the prenup.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's part of our prenup here at LPR.
Yeah, we have all sorts of legal documents and agreements that must be signed before anybody pushes a button or
Glenn was funny, too.
He was hilarious.
Was funny. Lighten up, Glenn.
I had more driveway moments with Glenn Beck before he went to television, in the old incarnation of his show, where he would be telling a story, just a run-of-the-mill story from his childhood, and I couldn't get out of the car. I had to hear the rest of it. It was amazing. But that's what I think television will do that to you, and giving so little time to do your radio program because you're doing television too, you're just basically going wherever the car takes you and you're just reading whatever they put in front of you. I mean, you can't blame Glenn so much as it probably would have been better just to stick with radio because the show was really good, or at least it used to be.
You know, we've talked about this not on the air, but Glenn Beck is a Mormon. A lot of our listeners in the past have emailed said that he's a Christian, but he's a Mormon. And
he's not just a Mormon. He's an Eber Mormon.
But you think about it. I mean, the things regarding the apocalypse. So we've done interviews on like how Mormons store food and things like that. And then you listen to his commercials about, you know, seeds till Armageddon or something.
Yeah, these seeds will grow
after the nuclear holocaust or something like that. And we haven't been able to get a guest on to talk about
the apocalyptic vision of
Glenn
Mormonism.
Beck.
Well,
yes.
Of Mormonism,
yeah. And how that's fitting with Glenn Beck. But I remember it was before the TV days, he went and visited some leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I think that's when you can pinpoint when his show started becoming doom and gloom.
Oh, there's no doubt. He was a nominal Mormon when the show was great. I mean, really. He was a nominal Mormon, and he admitted that he was a Mormon because his wife was a Mormon when they married. He had to become a Mormon to get married. He wanted to marry this woman, and when he did, but then he got serious about it. It was really great when he was just kind of dabbling in Mormonism, but then he got serious about it, and I agree. It's worldviews have consequences, even career consequences.
Hey, Jim from Evansville, Indiana. This is a note for you. He says, yesterday's 12:10 segments on iTunes have today's dates.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because you thought it was.
Well, I thought it was.
No,
that's not
work.
Why.
No.
I was
trying to bail you out here.
The reason yesterday's 12:10 segments on iTunes have today's dates is because they were posted to iTunes today. And that is because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, when I got home with the audio that I would normally post the day it was made, we try and do that because we so love our on-demand listeners, the audio is unusable because none of us here, for some reason, even though it is standard operating procedure in real radio to never do production without your headphones on, never just let the monitors of the studio tell you what it sounds like, none of us, not three people, it made it past me, Jeff, and Craig, I went home with bad audio last night because none of us put our headphones on when we were doing production, which is a no-no. You just always wear your headphones so you can hear what it really sounds like, not just what it sounds like coming out of the speakers. And when I got home and I heard it over headphones, it was not usable. So because we strive to bring our listeners the very best of everything, we postponed and iTunes is persnickety. It won't let you change some dates. It only lets you change certain dates. But don't let it worry you. We did not skip a day. The shows are still there. They just have incorrect dates for their broadcast.
I need you to vamp some more on this one because Susan in Mississippi has a great guest recommendation, Oz Guinness.
Okay.
He'd be great on that.
Oz Guinness is good.
Yeah. I looked. I don't have his email address. So I got to go back in the Rolodex and find it. So have it this one. Here's some Mark from Godfrey, Illinois. This is more email regarding Bishop Mark Hansen's town hall forum. The good bishop is almost speaking a different language. Justice Thomas said, let me put it this way. There are really only two ways to interpret the Constitution. Try to discern as best we can what the framers intended, or make it up. No matter how ingenuous, imaginative, or artfully put, unless interpretive methodologies are tied to the original intent of the framers, they have no more basis in the Constitution than the latest football scores. To be sure, even the most conscientious effort to adhere to the original intent of the framers of our Constitution is flawed, as all methodologies in human institutions are, but at least originalism has the advantage of being legitimate, and I might add, impartial. I think this is the kind of thing Paul wrote about in Romans 1. We know God exists. We deny what we know. We suppress what we know, and we substitute a false worship of the creature for the creator. For the sake of the sin of the month, the plain meaning of Scripture is denied and something is substituted for it. The funny thing is that every church that has gone down this path has lost the gospel and their members. As George Orwell said, to see what is in front of one's nose requires a constant struggle. They begin by denying what Scripture says, and they end up so deep in denial they can't recognize reality, the loss of members and the gospel. Look at the church in Europe, captive to the government, dominated by politics, bereft of the gospel, but at least their pensions are safe. Thanks for the email, Mark, in Godfrey, Illinois.
Well, thank you, Mark. Very insightful, too, and I think you're quite right that what I put it this way, when a church departs from the straight and narrow, the narrow path, and every other path, wide and inviting, leads not upward but down a slippery slope. The farther a church goes down a slippery slope of denying what Scripture teaches, abandoning scriptural truths and practices, the farther, with every step, it abandons more and more. That's not only the road to apostasy, it is also the road toward the point of no return. Now, I'm not saying that individual Christians cannot be brought back to a knowledge of the truth through repentance. I'm saying churches that continually and intentionally disregard God's word take every further step down that slippery slope, and at some point, they have abandoned so much of God's word that they're no longer able to discern the truth at all. They only land upon the truth by sheer luck. And they pass that point of no return, and from that point on, the church as an institution, having abandoned enough of God's word, has thrown aside everything that could ever have helped them find their way back up the slippery slope to the straight and narrow path. And so you're right, it becomes a snowball effect. And we all marvel and catch our breath when we hear someone like Bishop Hansen talking about how God is doing a new thing. He's still talking, yes, you believe homosexuality is wrong, I don't, but we can still agree to disagree. We can still have unity in our diversity. We can still stay in the conversation, all those kinds of things. These things just make one's head spin. But that's because we are listening to it from a perspective of minds informed by God's word. So it does sound like the nonsense it is to us. But believe me, to Mark Hansen, it sounds like it makes perfect sense. And to him, it probably does make perfect sense. Because his mind is no longer encumbered by God's word. His mind is now free from the strictures of God's word. He's free to think outside the boundaries that God's word sets on right thinking. And so it makes perfect sense to him. And to those who listen to him, who have likewise abandoned God's word, it makes perfect sense to them too. But you're right, it also leads inevitably, for the most part, to, when you stop being a church and you offer nothing more than what the average social organization in your town or city might offer, a little kind of human fellowship, a couple potlucks a year, counseling services, you name it. When that's all the church is anymore, which isn't the church at all, then naturally people tend to just kind of drift away from it. It's no longer significant in any way. The church's significance in the world is a borrowed significance. It is only the significance of God's word in the world that makes the church significant and worth going to. Be right back. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone. I'm going home. My baby used to hook me a little.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues, Etc., regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine or teaching from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org. The Lutheran Study Bible.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues, Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues, Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes. Listener email, blog of the week is coming up here momentarily. Then Greg Smith will join us. We'll talk about what Americans believe and practice religiously. Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week will follow a little bit later. That's 4 soundbites of Issues, Etc. audio. We'll play them for you, and then you get to call and vote. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943, or you can email us and vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc.
Guest update, no on Oz Guinness. Oz said, his take on the Pew Forum thing, interesting, it's consumerism. It's not Eastern mysticism, but I didn't have time to unpack it because it's like, got to go. But it looks like Dr. William Lane Craig of Talbot School of Theology might be a go.
Oh, goody gumdrops. That'll be good.
Goody gumdrops? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Wow, I haven't heard that in a while.
What people don't realize about Jeff's job is how many no's he gets in the course of a day. I mean, he gets more no's than yeses in a yes?
It's kind of like when he was in the dating world.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just more of the same, but I mean, he makes far more phone calls than ever get returned. He sends more email than ever gets answered by the people he's constantly fishing. It's what makes him a good producer. See, other radio shows might just settle for, like, okay, we got some guy that we know will come in. The people who really could serve as a great guest for this segment aren't available, or we're trying to get them at too short notice. And radio is all short notice. So let's just call, you know, Joe Blow Pastor, who has no particular expertise, but at least he'll come on and be a warm body on the air. That's other radio programs. That's Not Issues, et cetera. So Jeff has an amazing Rolodex and just continues to mine it continuously. And believe me, folks, you have no idea how hard this guy is working trying to get the best guests and topics. I just sit in here because I don't do any of that stuff.
Stop it.
No, I do not schedule guests. I don't talk to them before we go on the air. I do other things around here, but not the difficult work of being told no again and again and again and again. But you get enough no's, you eventually get a yes.
I'm thinking about how Beth might, if she's listening right now, about all the dating no's I got. I mean, yeah. And she didn't say no. What? How is she going to take that comment from Craig?
You just got lucky, man. There's no,
no
explanation.
But I'm talking about
there's
Craig's comment.
Mysteries of the universe, how you married the woman you married.
It is.
It's unanswerable.
I agree.
Unanswerable.
But how is she going to take that comment, you know?
Fact that you went through a lot of women something?
Yeah, well, no. I didn't go through a lot of women, but I got all these no's, but she said yes. Like I settled, or, she, you know, these other women were better than Beth? Is that what Craig was?
Well, she's got a choice. She can either say that, you know, she was suckered into it, she settled, or she could say that she found the diamond in the rough. She saw the glittering jewel that was there that none of these other girls, the hundreds and hundreds, ever saw. Alec Baldwin can't make Craig laugh, but I can.
That's right.
It's amazing.
That's right. All right. Email from Paul in Iraq. I just want to thank you once again for all that you do with this program. Issues, etc. has been and is still the theological lifeline for me. While I've been here in Iraq, I've given several podcasts from this incarnation and the previous incarnation to a coworker of mine, and he is amazed at the wealth of knowledge that this show has. As my time here in Iraq grows short, please continue to keep all service members and their families in your thoughts and prayers as Christmas is approaching. Again, thank you for this amazing ministry. Continue to lead the charge in proclaiming the gospel. Thank you, Paul, for your service, and thanks for listening in Iraq.
Amen. Absolutely, Paul, and thanks for continuing to listen. Two things. We do love our on-demand listeners, and the great thing about on-demand listening is you get to listen to what you want, when you want. You can pass it along to anybody you want. So Paul's among those, our treasured on-demand listeners, and especially listening in the danger zone there. This is precisely why we do what we do. We do this because it is, for so many, a lifeline to the truth. We're not a substitute for a faithful pastor and a faithful congregation. We never can be. We don't pretend to be, but we can be that lifeline, that radio lifeline for people who are – that's a good liner. We should come up with one of those, something involving a lifeline. This is what we try and be for people, is a lifeline to sound biblical truth, sound critical thinking, all the things that we try and offer here on Issues, etc.
Here's an email from Chris. This is to Pastor Wilkin. I greatly admire your faithful service as a steward to the gospel and wish you were my pastor. I've had quite a history in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and really love this synod still. After reading many areas of controversy where the LCMS is dangerously entering a vortex of false doctrine and improper church practice, I have been contemplating not entering the LCMS as a member again. Can you give me any convincing argument why I should become a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and not the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod Church, which I find a very Christ-centered, cross-focused synod? Do any members of the LCMS have any hope? Sincerely, Chris.
Wow, that's a tough question. I mean, in essence, he's saying, give me one good reason to join the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And if you had the choice between Wells and the ELS, and you had to do it again. See, I speak as one who's here and is determined to stay for the sake of the sheep until they drive me from the sheep pen or it becomes intolerable for some other reason. There still is the outward profession of the truth. Is it practiced? I got to be honest with you. Some places, yes, quite faithfully. Other places, no, not at all. In fact, and I don't know if this serves as a good answer, but what the Missouri Synod is doing right now, my church, my beloved church, is doing right now is regularly and in more and more institutionally denying in practice what they say they affirm in principle. That's going to have to suffice for an answer. It may not be the greatest recruiting statement ever.